Deanna have been telling me about some testimonies. So I just take like 1 or 2 minutes, if you can. Condense it in like 1 or 2 minutes. Deanna, you can go first because Deanna's been having some trouble with a coworker, and she's been getting us to pray, and it's just like completely flipped 360. So.
Okay, so my testimony is I just started a job at the hospital, and basically I had a coworker, and it just very difficult, you know, and I've just been, you know, getting some people around me just to pray with me, just how I could witness to this coworker. Well, one day we were working and she came to me and she was like, hey, let's go get lunch together. And I didn't even ask her. She came to me and it was just like a complete 360, like Becca said. I just know the Lord was changing her heart, and we went out to eat and I got to talk about the Lord with her. And now it's like a thing. She wants to go eat again. And I've had several opportunities to do that, but it would take too long to share. So that's just like kind of a brief thing, you know. But just to encourage y'all, you know, God can, you know, change any situation. You know, you bring it before Him and you want Him to use you, you know. So.
And this coworker, like Deanna was telling me, was just like very verbally abusive almost to her, and telling other coworkers, like, you know, that she didn't like her and all these different things, just really lashing out to her, almost her, like harassment. And now she's like, I know you're going to preach Jesus to me, Deanna. Like, I know you're going to like be there for me and all this stuff. Like, what a cool testimony. She was just being just so like opposing of you. And now because you just constantly showed her love, and she even said, I think like, or some of the other coworkers said, I don't remember, but you said something like you never lash it back out to her. You never like, you know, have been mean to her when everybody else would have stood up. Like, you just like took the reproach of Jesus and suffered for the Lord, and He has extremely blessed you for it. And now she is seeing the gospel of Jesus through your life. It's just like, what a testimony. So anyway, I want to share that. And then Callan's going to share a quick testimony too. So
I've had a friend for like the past 2 years. And she works in travel, and I've never really talked with her about the Lord. It's kind of just like I've been her friend for a long period of time, and she doesn't live here, so we don't have a lot of opportunities to communicate. But when we do, it's never really, God's never really opened that door up. And so when this Bible study started, I was just praying. I was like, God, I really want you to use me in my friendships. And so she went through a breakup, and she called me, and she was just like, you know, Callan, I don't know how you went through your divorce and everything that you went through with such peace and joy. And I was like, Lord, thank you. So it gave me an opportunity to really talk with her and to be like, well, you know, all I can tell you is that it was Jesus. And she's like, well, how do I get that? And so we started talk. Y'all, she's going to Bible studies.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Like, she is actively seeking the Lord now. And, I mean, it's not because of me. It's because of Jesus.
Amen.
But
Amen.
He was able to use me as that vessel in that friendship. When I was like, oh, well, you know, we've been friends for 2 years and I ain't done nothing. But I just prayed, Amen. And, you know, God did. Mm. So there's no amount of time of a friendship that's too much time that God can't use you in any relationship. It can
Amen.
Be anything. Coworkers,
Amen.
Whatever. Neighbors. Yeah.
Amen. Let's just, like, thank God. Thank you, Jesus. Like, that's amazing. That's awesome. Such great testimonies. I love what you said, Callan, because I think sometimes, remember when I was, like, talking about, you know, going to meet that neighbor that's been there for 7 years and he's mowing his lawn? I'm like, hey, man, buddy, I have seen you for 7 years, but I don't know your name. Like, it may be, like, really awkward. Like, there may be an awkwardness in that. And there may have been, like, a little bit of, like, uncomfortable, like, moment where you're like, okay, like, and you could almost feel condemned by it, but you didn't. And you allowed the Lord to just let the grace of God work in your life and move past that. And Jesus used you. It's just amazing. So thank y'all for sharing that. Does anybody else have anything that they want to share? Yes, Pat.
You told me about this app to pray for your neighbors, and I started praying for my neighbors. And a few days later, I saw one of my neighbors out on the street. I had talked to her on and off, you know, over the last 5 years, but we never had gotten a relationship. Well, she was out there with her dog, and I said, hey, are you interested in taking a walk around the block? And she was like, well, I don't know, because she deals with epileptic seizures. Mm-hmm. And so she said, I feel safer just being on the street. And I said, then let's just walk up and down the street. Mm-hmm. And we started, and I said, you know, I really don't know my neighbors like I would like to mm-hmm. know them. But because she has a dog and walks up and down the street every day twice, she said, well, in this house lives so-and-so, and this house lives so-and-so, and this house is so-and-so. So I am completely informed about my neighborhood now.
You're so, like, checking your app. Oh, yep, yep.
I have them in my app, and they get a prayer check whenever I get to pray for them. And so I'm just waiting to actually meet them in person more, because I only know about 4 of my neighbors,
yeah,
sort of, but this was really great. Oh, she was telling me, oh, this is so-and-so, and, oh, you know, they have this and this, and they do that and that, so it was
man,
good.
That's awesome. Praise God. I think whenever we, like, just start actually praying for God to open up opportunities, it's like your eyes finally, like, see, like, oh, like, when I finally really started praying for my neighborhood, it's like everybody was walking their dog, you know? But they already were walking their dog. But it's like when God's heart became my heart, like, when I started praying, it's just like I started noticing things more. I started seeing what God was seeing. And that's amazing. Just even that one little, you know, encounter will turn into something else, you know? So thank y'all for sharing. And if y'all ever, anybody else? Okay, I don't know.
Met the neighbors not next to us, but the house further down, just 2 days ago. And prior to that, this weekend, the one that I would have otherwise avoided came up to me on her go-kart, just like the one I had already formed a relationship. Alicia came up to me on her go-kart. So the Lord's just sending people.
Man, it's like the go-kart region.
Yeah, but like people, you know, just assume like, oh, you're talkative, but I'm actually like, I don't go out to people. Mm. Like, you have to come up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And God's like, oh, you're going to use that excuse? I'm going to send them.
So I'm going to send that to you all.
For just doing it, because he has been very convicted.
No, amen. Praise God. Amen. Okay. Well, tonight we are going to talk about the first S in the acronym, which is serve. So last week, just to recap, we talked about, well, the first week we talked about just an overview of everything. Then we talked about the B, which is begin with prayer for those who are new here. The L, which was listen, we talked about last week, and how in order to bless our neighbors, Jesus invites us to really listen to them. And what we talked about was the story when Jesus encounters the blind man and asks him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man responds and says, Jesus, I want you to heal me. I want my sight. But the whole premise behind that story wasn't that Jesus, we're all like, okay, Jesus, why'd you ask the question? We know what he wants. Like, you're the God of the universe. But it's like Jesus didn't assume what he wanted. He actually asked the question and listened and then went forward in what he told him, and how we are called to as disciples just to sit and to ask people questions. People just want you to listen to them and engage in what they're struggling with and being supportive in what they're struggling with, and how Jesus did that, and how oftentimes we just want to give people like an immediate answer, like, oh, I can fix your problem in three easy steps. You're dealing with this. I got an answer. When really Jesus wants us just to listen and sit and be still and ask the Holy Spirit how we can help that person. And then we talk about eating, which is, of course, all of our favorite thing, but how Jesus invites us just to eat with people. And last week, like you were saying, Allie, Jesus ate with like the worst sinners of all time. He ate with tax collectors, which were literally traitors to the Jewish people. He ate with prostitutes. He ate with all kind of what we would call like the low life or the scum of the earth, which in reality, they're people just like us. And how what it would look like today is, you know, us sitting with trans people, us sitting with, you know, gang leaders, us sitting with people that just don't look like us. And what would people say to us if we sat with those people? And Jesus was called a friend of sinners and a glutton and a drunkard. And he like accepted that title because he loved people so much and he wanted to bless them and serve them in such a way that he would eat with them, not only to give them food, but to actually give them life. And this week we're going to be talking about serving. So the main idea is to bless your neighbor. Jesus invites you to serve. So we're going to be, the main story that we're going to talk about from Jesus's life is found in John 13. So if y'all can go to John 13. You know whenever you don't drink enough water during the day and then you just get like super thirsty at night? Is that anybody else? I'm just like super thirsty right now. So sorry if I drink a lot of water. But okay, so the main story is in John 13. And this is the story of the Last Supper. Okay, so this is Jesus 24 hours before he is going to die. He's got 24 hours, basically, of his life left. And I don't know about you guys, but if y'all would have 24 hours left in your life, I don't know if I would have done what he does in this story. If I had 24 hours left in my life, I would probably, like, go bungee jumping and, like, have all of my friends over and, like, talk about our favorite stories that we've ever, you know, been through in our life. I don't know what you might do if you had 24 hours left to live. But Jesus had 24 hours left to live before he is crucified, and he gathers all of his disciples, and they're sharing their last meal before he's going to die. Jesus knew he would be arrested that very night and turned over to death the next day. And what he did this night is so monumental. It's like the most beautiful picture of overturning what we see in the garden. There was a lie that was plaguing humanity ever since the Garden of Eden. And that the lie was that if you want to be blessed, essentially look out for yourself before anyone else. Look out for yourself and you'll be blessed. And Jesus comes and he basically, like, overturns this huge plague of humanity. And he tells them through his service what their perspective should be in life. And he does this through washing their feet. Jesus knew his position. Jesus knew his power. He knew that God had put all things under his authority. He knew that. But what did he do in this story? We're going to read this. He literally sets aside his crown and he trades it in for a towel. Or an apron, whatever you want to call it. So back in the day, they had, like, their towels had ropes, and they would tie them around them, their waist right here, and the towel would literally just hang. So they would, if they were washing someone's feet, they would, like, sit like this, and they would tie it, and then they would have the towel hanging, and they would have the wash basin right here. So he ties this apron, he grabs his towel, whatever you want to call it, we'll just call it towel for the night. But he sets aside his crown, and he picks up this towel. He is the highest person ever in position on earth, and he stoops down to serve his disciples. Okay, so we're going to read this story in John 13. We're going to start in verse 3. We're going to go section by section. So 3 through 5. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. So I just want us to, like, sit and understand the magnitude of what is happening here, because we've read this story probably so many times. Like, I've read the story so many times. I'm like, okay, Jesus washed the disciples' feet, whatever. You know, that's, like, foreign to us, like, washing somebody's feet. But just, I want us to, like, fully grasp, and maybe, like, if you like picturing scenes, like, in a movie, like, think of it, like, almost picture as I'm, like, describing this. But the God of the universe, like, the God of the universe, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the maker of everything, the sustainer of life, is literally bending down, and he's sitting on the wicker mummy strap. He's, like, sitting down, and he's got this towel wrapped around him, and he's literally washing a dirty human's feet. And not just one dirty human, 12 dirty humans. In the ancient world, like, in this time, bending down to wash somebody's feet was, like, the lowest person in the house's job. Okay, so think, like, you know, they got 4 servants in the house or whatever, like, the lowest servant, that was their job. Whenever people would come into their house and whenever they would share a meal with people, it was, like, the low servant's job. And here we see Jesus stooping down to wash people's feet. This is, like, a routine practice before sharing a meal because, okay, so we're all sitting at tables, like, this height, right? But in their time, they had tables that were, like, this height, okay? They'll ever sat up like this, or you'll ever see on Pinterest, they have, like, cute picnics outside, and they're all, like, sitting like this, if they're, like, flower-laden tables, you know what I'm talking about? It's, like, so cute. Like, that, imagine that, but, like, not all the cute flowers and girls. But so they have this low table, and they're probably all sitting, like, crisscross applesauce down there. And just imagine, okay, so imagine, like, your feet are like this, right? I got my, like, little warwatches. I usually wear my Jesus sandals. I should have worn them tonight. But imagine, like, you're sitting like this, and you got, like, Peter and James and Thaddeus, and they're all next to you, and you're like,
you know, size 12, gnarly looking dirty feet, and your like dinner roll is like right there, and then like your nasty foot is like right there, like it's right there, and then, you know, little James and big James, you know, then everybody's feet are like right here, and you're like, ugh, man, your feet are nasty. What you been walking with today? Like, they were right at the table. So, like, washing feet was a big deal because not only are you sitting right next to the person, your feet are probably all right up in their grill, but, like, it's right next to the food, okay? So it was a big deal to wash people's feet back in the day. And like I said, it was, like, the worst of the servants time to do this.
And especially in this culture, we're in a Western culture where it's very individualistic and it's a lot different. But in Eastern culture, and even still today, like, all Middle East, like Muslim culture, they very much adopt this idea. Their culture is like wrapped around two ideas, and it's like you're either honored or you're shamed. Like your family is like you do stuff for your family to honor them, and if you don't do it, then you're going to shame them. And so they have this mindset of like everything that I do brings honor to my name and brings honor to my family. And if I do something wrong, or if I do something that is not of good reputation, like my reputation is going to bring shame on me, shame on my family, shame on my clan, shame on my tribe. Like whatever I do, it doesn't just reflect me. It reflects like my whole lineage. And so honor and shame is such a huge part of their culture right now. And so think of Jesus being a rabbi. Rabbis would never do this. Think of Jesus, the King of the universe, literally bending down and washing his disciples' feet. Like, it's amazing. And we just, I don't think about it at the magnitude that it should be thought about. But this is so important that Jesus, the King of the universe, would literally just say, my honor doesn't matter. Like my honor score is going to be completely tanked whenever I like drop down here, and people might look at me and think like, what is he doing? Like why on earth would he do this? Like a rabbi and then the actual Messiah, the Son of God, why is he doing this? And so the next portion of this is we're going to read 6-8. So this is when Peter comes and he says, so Jesus comes to Peter and who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I'm doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand. Peter said to him, you will never wash my feet. Okay, so I want to just give like an illustration to help us better understand this. So here's Peter, and Peter's like, absolutely not, Jesus. Like, you are not washing my feet. Like, okay, Peter's feet might have been dirty, like whatever, but that's not what he was trying to say. He was just trying to say, like, you are of so much more honor than me. Like, there is no way you are going to wash my feet, Lord. And so think about it this way, okay? I want y'all to imagine someone well beyond you in wealth or status or fame. Okay, so just imagine someone and then give me a name. So someone that's famous, throw someone out. Someone that's famous, someone that's wealthy. Elvis, Trump. Okay, we'll use Elvis. Good old Elvis. Okay, so imagine that Elvis comes over to your house for dinner. Okay? Elvis comes over to your house for dinner. You serve him the classic peanut butter, banana, whatever he liked thing. I don't remember what he liked. Something like that. You know, all the burgers, like the Elvis burgers with the peanut butter and the banana on the burger. Okay. So Elvis comes over to your house. Okay, maybe insert the person that you really like. I'm not that big of an Elvis fan, sorry. But insert whoever like you would love to invite over to your house. That's famous. Okay, so Elvis comes over. You're eating dinner. It's a great dinner. You're already anxious about it, though, because it's Elvis. Like, right? It's Elvis. So you're having them at your house, but you're anxious about it. You're anxious already about the cooking and will he like it and is my house clean enough and all this stuff. So your anxiety's already through the roof, but you're enjoying the night. It's going great. And then Elvis gets up from his dinner and he says, hey, where's your bathroom? And you're like, oh, it's just down the hall to the left. No problem. So you notice he's kind of been gone for a little while. You're like, where is he? Is he like, you know, doing number two, or he's just taking a while? You know, what, like, Elvis, you okay, my God? You know he's not stealing anything. He's already 10 times wealthier than you. But you're like, where is he? So you go in there and the door's open. And you're like, Elvis?
and you see him scrubbing your toilet. Okay? And you're like, what?
Oh, no! Like, you can't have a toilet. He found the cleaning supplies. He went and he is scrubbing your toilet. And you are so ashamed. Like, oh my gosh, why is this man scrubbing my toilet? You cannot do this. You are of so much more wealth and fame and all of it. You cannot be scrubbing my toilet. Okay? So just think about that. Like, how embarrassed you would feel and how, like, this dude cannot. No, never. Nope. Give me the stuff. You're not doing this. If it's that dirty, like, I'll scrub it. That's essentially what's happening here. Okay? Like, the washing the feet, like, we don't get it sometimes. So, like, the illustration hopefully will put it, like, a little bit more ballpark home. But, like, wouldn't that make you uncomfortable? Like, you would just be like, oh my gosh, I'm so uncomfortable. I'm so embarrassed. That's what Peter is doing here. He's like, Jesus, there is no way you're going to be scrubbing my toilet. There is no way you're going to be washing my feet. No way. And so Jesus responds to him, and I love how he responds. So he responds in verse 8. And he says, 8b. It's like the second part. So Jesus answered him, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Peter didn't realize what Jesus was doing. He, in just a few hours, Jesus was going to be going to the cross. He was going to be laying down his crown again, but instead of a towel this time, he was going to be laying it down for a cross. And Peter didn't understand what was going on. But Jesus was trying to show him and trying to get all of the disciples to see, I need you to change your perspective. I need you to realize that you are not going to be blessed in this life by trying to look out for yourself, that plague of humanity that has entered in the garden, by looking out for yourself, by figuring out what you need and what you want. That's not how you're going to be blessed. By getting enough wealth and fame and status so that other people can bless you, that's not what this life is about. This life is about you being a servant to all. This life is for you to literally take what I have blessed you with and turn it around and go and bless others. And in this example, Jesus washes all of his disciples' feet. And what he's telling us is like, I just want you to shift your perspective. I want you to shift your perspective from one of, I want to be something great in this life, to God, help me to be nothing so that others can be made great, others can be into the kingdom, others can be served, others can be blessed. God, please help me change my perspective. And that's what Jesus is trying to show Peter. And so in we're going to continue on in verse 12. So this is where Jesus finally explains it. So verse 12, he said, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, Do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, for I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should also do just as I have done to you. Truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So Jesus' message is simple. I did this, and now that you're a follower of me, it's time for you to do this. It is your turn to bend down, get rid of all of your honor and your reputation or whatever you think you may have that makes your name great, and just serve. Just serve. Literally change your perspective to one of, I want to be this, this, and this so that people can serve me, into, God, I want to be just like you so that I can serve others. And y'all, that is such a hard place to be. Like, it sounds really good and it sounds really great. Like, yes, I'm going to go wash people's feet. Yes, I'm going to do this. But to really actually go out and serve people and do that, it is really difficult sometimes. Like, we can all be honest and say, like, sometimes it's, like, really easy and sometimes it's really great because the people that we're serving are easy to serve. But then sometimes there are those people that are just not easy to serve. Like, I'm not going to stand up here and say that they're, like, everybody's easy to serve, because there are people that, like, grind your gears the wrong way and they know how to push your buttons and you're like, God, I am not serving them. They're going to get what's coming. Like,
oh, what a horrible attitude to have. And I know I have that attitude. I don't know, like, y'all might be, like, way more sanctified than me and not ever have that attitude. But I don't know about y'all, but, like, I got that attitude. Like, I ain't serving them. Mm-mm, nope, sirree. I ain't serving them. But when you really think about it, like, if you don't serve them, like, could you have missed an opportunity to point them to Jesus? Like, is their soul, like, worth it? Yes. Yes, it is. It's so worth it. And sometimes we just have to get over our offense or our prejudice or whatever is blocking or hindering that relationship from taking that step. But Pastor Lee has said it often that, I'm going to butcher it now. I thought I wrote it down. The person whose feet you can't wash is where your ministry ends. That's what he says. Thank you, Lord, for helping me remember that. The person whose feet you can't wash is where your ministry ends. And so think about the person that, like, you can't, like, ugh, I don't want to wash their feet, God. I don't want to serve them. I don't want to, whatever it may be. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. That's where your ministry is going to end, because Jesus literally extended his hand to serve and to bless everybody. And so we need to ask God to help us in those times and help us in those moments. Yes, please.
I read a short biography about her recently. The height of people following her around because she becomes so famous. And she's in the street with a man who has boils all over his body and dirty and dying. And I said, how can you stand to touch him? She said, I look down at him and I see the face of Jesus. Because if you do it unto the least of these, you do it unto me.
Amen. Amen. Hey, you're segueing into my next scripture. Look at you. Hey, Matthew 25, that's where we're going next. Good job, Ish Duty. That's so beautiful. Amen. I think that sometimes when we have those, whatever it may be, prejudices or like hindrances and actually like ministering to people, if we could just remember that that person is made in the image of God, just like I am, I think we can get past those humps. Like, they may look different than me, they may act different than me, but they were made in the image of God, just like I was. And who on earth am I to shake my fist at God and say, they are not worth your blood? Who am I to do that? Like, they are so worth everything that I have, and they just need an opportunity to receive it. So if y'all would flip to Matthew 25, that's where we're going to go next. I think it's Matthew 25. Yeah. So this is the story of, hold on. Is it Matthew 25? Hold on. No, it might not be. Hold on. I thought I had written it down, but I did not. Hold on, you guys. So this is the story of the sheep and the goats, and I thought it was Matthew 25, but apparently I'm wrong. Oh, is it? Okay. I have... Yes, it is. Okay. I'm looking right at it. Okay. All right, let's see. We are going to start... Let's see. Let's just start with 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when? When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you as a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and clothed you? When did we see you, or sick in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say unto you, as you did it to one of the least of my brothers, you did it unto me. Then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now just think about this scripture, just like Miss Judy was saying, and there's going to be so many people that come to us that we are going to have the opportunity to serve like Jesus did. Like Jesus served so many people throughout his ministry. There's other scriptures that we could talk about. If y'all want to write it down, Mark 7, 31 through 37 is another one that I was going to maybe hit on tonight, but I don't know if I will. But there are so many times where Jesus took the lowly, the sick, the hurting, the demon-possessed, the outcast, and he served them in such a way that they were blessed and that they came to know him and they left whole. And how beautiful would it be if we could just live out exactly what Jesus did right here? We could begin by praying for our neighbors or our coworkers. We could begin listening to them. And by listening to them, you're going to understand like what they need. By eating with them, sharing meals with them, like actually engaging over conversation, like with your coworker, like you begin to like, as they talk, they're talking, even if it's just simple things, like what do they like to do? What are their, you know, what are their hurts? What are their pains? What are they going through? Like so many things that we can figure out just by listening to people, eating with people. And then once all of those things have happened, it's like God has given us this opportunity to take all of that information that we've gathered by praying and listening, eating, and saying, okay, now here's something that you can go out and do about it. Go out and serve them. You've heard that your neighbor is dealing with the loss of her mother. How can you serve her? You are hearing that there's a broken relationship between the father and the son at the house two doors down. How can you try and help them mend their relationship? How can you help XYZ? Think about your neighbors or think about your coworkers. Maybe your coworker is going through an illness. Maybe your coworker is dealing with mental instability. How are you going to speak into that? You know you have the answer of God living inside of you, and all you need is the Holy Spirit to help bring that out of you. But if we would just actually ask God, God, how can I serve these people around me? How can I serve these, the stranger that you welcomed them in, the naked that you clothed, the sick that you visited, those that were in prison that we went to. If you're doing it to the least of these, you're doing it unto him. And so many times we think like, oh, it's just a little box of cookies that I'm bringing over to my neighbor. No, it could be like the thing that turns them to God. It could be something that you think is so simple, but it literally could turn them to have a softened heart. It could just be that one little next step. Like I've been trying to say every time, what's the next step? Is it getting your neighbor's phone number? Is it baking them cookies? Is it whatever it is, what's the next step into getting them into a gospel conversation so that they can come to Jesus? Can we not serve them like Jesus did? I want to read y'all a story from the book. You know, this book's got the best stories. So I'm going to read this story about this. Okay. I always think about my friend Adam when I talk about blessing people. Adam works in a local retail store. It's definitely not his dream job, but he needed work, so he took it. Adam asked God to use him in that store to bless the people around him. And just as we've been encouraging you, he began by praying for the people he worked with. After a while, he got to know Jeremy, his boss, and they quickly became friends. Jeremy made it clear that he was not a Christ follower. But because of their growing friendship, he willingly engaged in conversation about God, spirituality, or religion, as he called it. As Adam and Jeremy got to know each other, my friend learned that his boss was a single parent whose son had chronic health problems. One day, Adam noticed Jeremy seemed unusually down. "Is something wrong?" he asked. Jeremy told him, "Yeah, it's my son. He's broken out in severe hives, and the doctor can't do anything about it. Since I can't send him to school, he's at home by himself, and I'm really worried." Adam wasn't sure how his boss would react, but he courageously asked, "Do you mind if I pray and ask God to heal him?" To Adam's surprise, without even pausing, Jeremy said, "Sure, go ahead, please do." The store is always super busy and full of people, so Adam looked around for a quiet place to pray and ended up in the bathroom by himself. Adam simply prayed, "God, You know I love this guy, and he's hurting because of his son. I know what you can do, so please heal Jeremy's son. Please take away his hives. After he finished praying, Adam headed back out to the sales floor. Just moments later, he saw his boss running across the room toward him with an astonished look on his face. That prayer thing? It really works, Jeremy said. Your God must be real because my son just texted me 2 minutes ago and said, Dad, you'd never believe it. All my hives disappeared. Did you catch that? A guy who's not a believer said, your God must be real. Why? Because he saw the power of God at work. May we never forget to access the power of God as we serve others. Isn't that amazing? And we hear stories like this, and some of us have lived stories like this, and it's just amazing to see like what God can do if we would just be bold in realizing the needs of the people around us and actively asking God how we can step into their needs and serve them. And in that case, it was praying for his son, and God miraculously healed him just like that. It's just amazing. So I want to talk about three quick little P's. We like doing everything in like three little cute points so it like flows together. So in Mark 7:31, there's like three things that we can glean from this passage, but we're not going to have time to read it. So y'all can just mark it down for later, but it's Jesus. I'm going to flip there just so I can have it for reference. But Jesus is healing a deaf man here. Oh, there's a bug around me. We've had fruit flies at our house, so I'm like karate chopping every bug I see. So in Mark 7, Jesus is going to heal a deaf man. And there's three things in this story that we can just pull from Jesus' life and see what he did. And I'll just read it real quick to y'all. So he says, he returned from the region of, I always forget how to say this, Tyre, I don't know, and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee and the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears after spitting. And after spitting, touched his tongue, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. And there's three things that I just want to pull out. The first is proximity. So Jesus, there are definitely circumstances where Jesus went like and was sent by God to go to a certain place, almost kind of like here, like he was passing through and going through somewhere else. But there are so many people that are in your proximity. Jesus is passing this man. Jesus has sent us to certain places, our workplaces, our neighborhoods. The people that are in proximity next to you, those are the people you need to be serving. Like, think about the people that are really close to you. We all know these are the hardest people to serve. Your family. Y'all have a hard time serving your family? Because I do. Like, if Tessa asked me to like go get her a cup of water, absolutely, no problem. Sure, girl, I got you. No problem. Hey, Mom, can you get me another chocolate milk? How many dang chocolate milks you been drinking today, bro? Like, no, you get your own chocolate milk. Like, that's what we want to do, right? Okay? Or, you know, hey, babe, can you go do this? I just sat down. Oh, okay. Yeah, sure, honey. You know, but you're like gritting your teeth the whole time. Why is that? The hardest people to serve are the closest in proximity to us. But can we not serve the people in our homes just like we serve the people outside of our homes? Like, I know it seems different, but I feel like the most glorious service of all is to the people that know us best. So can we not serve in our homes? And then think just a little bit farther out, our neighbors, the people on our street. Think about the people that are in the cubicle next to you or the people that are at the desk next to you, onward out to your boss. Jesus has put you in a place so that you can serve the people in close proximity. The second was that Jesus served this man personally. So can you imagine, this man is deaf and he's mute and he's probably been made fun of his entire life. Like, he can't talk, and maybe the noises that he makes are probably just disturbing. I don't know. Like, have you ever heard a mute person? You know, it might be a little bit I don't know, just different, a little bit disturbing, you know, just noises coming out. They're trying to talk, but they can't. Jesus takes this man aside and he personally speaks into his situation. And I can imagine, because this man's been made fun of his entire life. People are staring, looking at him. He's a spectacle. Jesus takes him aside almost to like show him, like, you don't have to be like made fun of right now. I'm going to come and I'm going to speak into your situation personally, and I'm going to do this for you so that you don't have to be a spectacle right now. You've been a spectacle your whole entire life, but I'm going to take you aside and I'm going to do this. And what he does is kind of crazy. Touching his tongue, puts his fingers in his ears. Like, you'd be like, what is happening? Jesus gave this man like a wet willy, but not really. Like, I mean, basically he spit and he put it. I mean, basically it's biblical if someone does it. I'm just kidding. Oh, those are so gross. But Jesus does it. So Jesus does this, and like Jesus personally like takes him aside to not be a spectacle. Jesus speaks to him personally so he wouldn't shame him. And how many times, like, can we serve people personally, not to be like, oh, look what I did, not to make a spectacle of it, but can we just know that people have certain needs, and can we just go personally serve them without any gratification? And then last is Jesus served him powerfully. Jesus accessed God's power and he healed this man. Whenever we are going out to serve people, whether it's something small, whether it's something that we may deem small or whether we may deem it large, can we not ask God, God, in your power, your Holy Spirit's power, help me to serve this person. And whether it's something small or large, I pray that your power is all over this to literally just change this person's heart. We can learn from Jesus that the people in close proximity that are personal and powerfully, that we can go out and serve people just like Jesus did. So the question is, we hear all this, we see that Jesus served, we know that we're supposed to serve, but like Jesus laid down his crown and he picked up a towel, the question should ring true for us tonight. What do we need to put down? Jesus, the King of the universe, literally could have kept his crown. He could have came in all of his glory, but he came as a baby. And he literally came not to be served, but to serve and to be a ransom for many, is what the scriptures say. Jesus came to serve and to be a ransom for many. So what do you need to put down to bless someone through serving them? What is your crown? Is it your time? I think for many of us, it's our time. We don't want to be inconvenienced. Ugh, I gotta go do this. Gotta go bake the cookies that's gonna take 2.5 hours to do because the kids want to help me and it's gonna take forever. Is it your inconvenience? I mean, I'm just being real here, y'all. I baked cookies for somebody today and it took... Titus is like, I want to help. And I'm like, okay. And we had such a great time. It was amazing. It was really beautiful. The whole time he's like, this is brown sugar, mommy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love you, mommy. I'm like, oh, buddy, I love you too. This is white sugar, mommy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love you, mommy. Like, he said it probably 10 times while we're baking cookies. I'm like, this means so much to him. Like, it took a lot longer to do it, but then he got to say, like, he baked the cookies for this person too. So will it be inconvenient at times? Do we need to place down our inconvenience? Do we need to place down our crown of time? Do we need to take down our crown of pride? Maybe you think, I'm not serving that person. They have wronged me in every which way my entire life. I am not serving them, God. That's where your ministry ends. Like, your ministry ends there. And I know that sounds harsh, but that's the truth. And there's people in my life, and I'm sure there's people in your life, that have wronged you or have said nasty things about you or have spread rumors about you or have hurt you, and you don't want to serve them. And I get it. Like, I totally get it. But can we ask God to soften our hearts a little bit more, to say, God, how do you want me to serve them? God, please open up a door for me to serve them. Like, I don't want to. But maybe, like, the floodgates of heaven will just open up when you decide to lay down your crown of pride and serve those people. Just think about, what would it look like for you to put down your crown and grab a towel where you live, in your home, What would it look like if your kids started noticing that you were serving them more than you used to? What would it look like if your husband started noticing, wow, they're serving me more than they used to? They're not griping about the dishes anymore. They're actually doing them because they love me. And they're happy that they have a plate full of dishes, a sink full of dishes. Like, what if you did this in your workplace? Maybe you don't want to sacrifice and serve the people that are making fun of you, but you did it. And look what happened. Like, that's so beautiful. I could just cry thinking about it. It's so beautiful. Like, I think sometimes we just think that this is like way too like complicated to share the gospel, when it's really just doing these simple things that we just don't want to apply. But what if we actually did this? What would it look like if you did this in your neighborhood and you talked to the person, you know, like down your street that you don't want to talk to, at the gym or on the ball field, wherever you may go? I just want to encourage us that in these moments where we don't feel maybe comfortable serving, or maybe we have too much pride to serve, or maybe we have to be inconvenienced with our time, God, would you please just make me a servant like you were? Please help me to wash people's feet. And whatever that looks like for me right now, then please help me to do it, God. Please give me your spirit. So as we begin praying, as we begin listening to people, as we begin eating with people, I'm convinced that you are going to learn ways to serve people well in your neighborhood and to serve people well in your workplace. And sometimes, eventually, someone might even ask you, why are you different? Just like Callan. How did you get through that? How did you get through that divorce? I don't understand. Like, what is the hope that's in you? They're not going to ask that. You know, they're like, what's the hope? You know, that's our Christianese terms. But they're going to be like, I don't understand. This person completely wronged you. How on earth are you getting through this? And you're still trying to serve him? Like, what? I don't understand. Why? Just shake off your boots and like let the dust lie. Like, just get away from him. Like, you're still trying to serve him because he needs the gospel. And people are going to notice. Like, what if people came up and started asking, why are you different? Why do you serve the way you do? And that's the most amazing moment, because that's when you can put into practice the final S, which we're going to share about next week, which is sharing about the beauty of the gospel, sharing about the beauty of how Jesus has completely changed your life. So I encourage y'all in that we would just be servants, that we would serve just as Jesus served. So on your little handout that I gave you tonight is just a good way that you can evaluate, I guess, the people around you, just to help, just like a tool to help you in how you can go out and serve others. So these little RPMs, which are super cute and easy to remember. So these are four different ways that you can serve your neighbors or serve your coworkers or serve your family. So you can serve them relationally, you can serve them physically, you can serve them spiritually, and you can serve them mentally. So you can insert, how's my neighbor doing? Down at the bottom, it says, how's my neighbor doing? You could also say, how's my husband doing? How's my coworker doing? How's my sister doing? How's my whoever doing? And then look at these questions, like, relationally, how's their home life? How's their marriage, their dating, their family life? Do they have close friends, relationships at work? Maybe you could ask some of those questions, and then God's going to give you the answer to that by going out and serving them in some way. For example, if they don't have any close friends, maybe they just moved in from out of town and they don't have any close friends, are you going to go and be a friend to them? Are you going to go and try and pursue a relationship that might be inconvenient and that might take some more time and might be sacrificial? Like, maybe God is calling you to do that. Mentally, are there any signs of anxiety, depression? Maybe you can speak into how you dealt with that. Maybe you can bring them a little prize, a little happy, and help them. Are there noticeable mood swings or anything unhealthy? Just think about, like, if you've ever been in that place, something that somebody has done for you to help you get out of it. Prayer, something sweet, an act of kindness. Physically, how's their health? Maybe for example, my neighbor next to me is getting older. She was in the hospital in and out with COVID stuff back in 2020, and she's had some complications here and there, and she's getting older, and she can't really mow her lawn. So we've been mowing her lawn. And she's like, oh, how much do I owe you? I'm like, nothing. Like, this is just a blessing. And she's like, what? That's so amazing. You know, she was so sweet. And then she brought my kids fig bars. She was like, this is the old people's snack. I don't know if you little youngins like these things anymore. But I'm like, okay. Which my kids actually really loved them. But I was like, fig bars. Okay. They were like the Little Debbie fig bars. I'm like, I didn't even know Little Debbie made fig bars. Why do you go for that stuff when you can go for like the whatever y'all go for? I go for like the little nutty bars, but or the little Star Crunch or whatever. Anyway. Oh, Little Debbie, she's great. But anyway, so like how maybe your neighbor doesn't have good energy levels, so you need to go help them unload their groceries or help them do whatever. Spiritually, do they sense something is missing in their life? Are they willing for you to pray for them? Do they initiate spiritual conversations? Are they moving closer to God? Oh, there's a typo there. Are they moving closer to God? But like these are just like easy questions that you can just use to maybe if you're like wondering like I don't really know like who to serve, how to move forward in this. Those are just like simple questions that you could just ask about the people that are next to you. So this is the homework for the week. So of the people in your block map, so if everybody still has their block map, hopefully it's on your fridge or somewhere that you're looking at it. If you don't have a block map, I had all the extras of these. I'm sorry, I forgot them at home. But I can give those to you if you need one of those. But so think about the people in your block map. Who do you think God wants you to serve this week? Okay, so use these little RPMs or just evaluate their life and just say like, God, I know they're dealing with this. God, I know they're struggling in this way. I know their home life is this. How do you want me to serve them this week, God? And then can you just answer that? Like you have, I don't know, 168 hours a week, I think is what it is. Like, could we take 1 hour this week to either eat with somebody or invite them over or serve them in some way and answer that question? So I encourage you on that, and I'm excited about this, and I'm excited about next week, and we'll be talking about how to share, and that's our last week. It's crazy. It's already passed by, but anyway, so yeah.
Jesus loving his enemies, what I think about is in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's literally preparing to be taken to be crucified, and you know, that soldier's ear is cut off, and Jesus heals him. Mm-hmm. And it's not because he asked to be healed, but it's just to bless him, you know. And I think it's something to love our enemies and to serve them, not with an expectant, you know, us expecting anything out of it. Mm-hmm. And specifically, like, throughout my divorce, I know that God's really helped me surrender my pride in that. And I've mentioned, you know, about him, my ex-husband asking for clothes for his new child. And I want to share this example, mm-hmm. you know, where I texted him one day. And our relationship isn't the best, but God's really been able to help me put down my crown of pride. And I, out of nowhere, God just put it on my heart, ask him what he needs prayer for. And y'all, his response was, what do you mean? I was like, how can I pray for you? And he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, what do you need prayer for? And he was like, wow, thank you for asking. I really need prayer for this. Mm-hmm. And to just say like, oh, my ex-husband who... we have a very difficult relationship, but for him to be able to say, oh, my ex-wife, throughout all of this that has been done between us, she still asks, how can I pray for you? Or, oh, she still blessed my child with clothes, or, oh, this. Like, that just really says something, you know? And it's really, it really does speak of Jesus when we can not only love people who love us,
yeah.
but we can love people who don't even like us.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
so Amen. I just really want to share.
That's that. Good.
Amen. It's wonderful.
That's true.
Okay. Amen. All right, well, we will close in prayer, and then if anybody needs one of these, I didn't get one, let me know. But thank y'all for coming tonight. I love y'all. So God, we thank you for tonight, and I pray that you would help us to serve people well. God, thank you for your example in Jesus, how he came and washed his disciples' feet, and he served so many. And even though he had all right and all authority underneath him, Lord, to be able to do whatever he wanted, I thank you that he was always about your will And your will was that he was made to come and serve and to give his life for us, God, to be an example of how we can serve others, God, to be an example of how we can lay down our crowns and our pride and everything that we need to do, God, just to serve others. And so I pray that you would just use that in our lives, Lord, to bring people in and to just get them one step closer, Lord, to who you are and knowing who you are, Jesus. We just thank you, and I pray that you would help us as we go out this week to be able to serve somebody. We just love you in Jesus' name. Amen.